Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
Hello and welcome to a very somber IGN UK podcast to end your year. I don't know.
Joe.
Dale kind of Dale kind of wanted this to be like almost a joke podcast, in as much as, well, let's get it out of the way up top. Krupa, you're leaving after many years of faithful service.
Yes.
But you're being joined by your compatriots, Gav and Rory.
Yeah.
Dale's initial idea was that we wouldn't tee up that Gav and Rory were leaving as well and have them appear to announce that they're leaving throughout the podcast.
What a brutal triple gut punch.
That'd be so mean.
Yeah.
So
it's like the Oscars video. We're all dead.
You're off to do exciting new things
yes.
that you're not talking about yet.
No,
but
ish.
Yeah.
We're going to do a thing.
You're going to do a thing together.
Do a thing.
Some sexy
and
things.
I think.
We'll have a lot of time on our hands. Just getting bored. Just like, what are we going to do? Just wanking each other.
I was going to say, stick it on a webcam. You make loads.
Well, this is going really well.
But as you know, with the IGN UK podcast, we are very solipsistic and we don't care about what you're doing next. We just want to look back at what you're doing, what you've done here.
For us, yeah. Yes.
And so what we're going to do on this podcast is have each of the... I'm going to say splitters on here, and we're going to talk about their time on the IGN UK podcast and as part of the IGN UK team. It's really weird, isn't
this
it?
This is really weird for
yeah.
me.
So what we're doing for each of you, we're just little panels of people remembering you, like a eulogy.
It's like
we will acknowledge.
We will acknowledge
that you're still there.
Yeah, I'm just going to be, okay, hello everyone, I'm going to be quiet for the next 10 minutes.
And then we're going to do a quiz about your first ever podcast appearance.
You mean serious?
Yeah.
Oh no, it was so I was so nervous being on the podcast because like I was genuinely a huge fan of the podcast before I joined, and I couldn't believe that I got the job that I did. Yeah. Like I properly duped you.
Also, you said it on the podcast that like it was four weeks before you'd applied.
Yeah.
And to me, I know that's like quite normal. It's actually maybe long.
Yeah.
But in my head that seems mental for like a fan to be like 4 weeks ago I had no idea this was gonna happen
that's
to my
life. Headspace I was in, like yeah. I applied. I thought I had no chance of getting it.
Mm.
Actually, I've never told you this. I actually cheated a little bit on my job interview.
Right.
So I had a two-phase interview where I came in, I met you, yeah. and then be like told like you'd have a second interview where there might be a written test.
Yes.
And you'd be
you
like
had somebody else on Skype that was no, writing
it. We'd probably invite you back and get you to write like a topical like feature
yeah.
based on something that happened.
Yeah.
And the day before I had my second interview, I think they announced they were making a new Wolverine movie.
Right.
On the off chance that you were going to ask me to write a feature that was like who should direct the Wolverine movie, the night before I wrote
yeah.
Six directors that should direct the Wolverine movie.
You bastard.
And so when I went into that interview, you were like, this is the feature we'd like to write. I basically logged into Google Docs.
Oh my God.
I copy and paste it and I spent the hour finessing it.
Honestly, fair though, play. I think that's,
but I think that's the skills that you want
that
from
that shows
absolutely.
Incredible foresight.
Yes.
And it characterised your time at IGN.
Perfect.
That's what I brought to the team. Cunning.
You two have known each other the longest of anyone on our team, Al. Yes, I wondered if you'd got any...
Well, I've got lots of memories, but then you told me that we're on a strict time limit,
well,
so I'm going to have to cut it down very dramatically.
Well, the problem is we're going straight out of this into a leaving speech.
Yes, we are. Tell me about it. So I've got five that I'm going to rattle through very quickly.
Five.
One of the first things, which was equally fun but equally terrifying, was when we did the FIFA live stream together.
I've watched that a few times
bearing
recently.
Bearing in mind...
Right, there's a lot that you probably don't get from just watching the video what happened that day.
We'd never done anything live before in our lives. Mm. We were a very underdeveloped video team.
Very
that's
underdeveloped.
Putting it politely.
That was malconceived.
And then not only that, we had fucking Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain on there.
Yeah,
the
so
Ox.
It was like, although, again, we'll talk about that in a second. But like, so we had an hour and a half to fill, bearing in mind, never done it, in this random space. 30 seconds before we went on air, Stuart Reed, who many people who listen to the podcast will remember, suddenly said, it's not broadcasting live. It's like, what? And there was a problem, I believe it was something to do with a hardware versus software encoder. Obviously, I don't give a shit about that. I just want to make sure it goes out.
That's what
out.
People say when it's fucked.
That, it wasn't going out live. And so we were just literally, it was like, right, you're live in 5, 4. And I was like, And then...
But you were basically like, are we... Like, obviously you have to do it anyway, but this literally could be going to no one.
Yes. You just pretend.
But it will be on demand later, so yeah. Still have to, like, play along.
And it was... Oh, it was a nightmare. And we managed... I think it was broken into segments, if I
it
remember
It was in
rightly.
5 parts.
Right. And then there'd be some game
to watch.
Play.
It's 5 parts.
I've done a lot of scrubbing.
Well, there would be some gameplay, and at that point, you'd be like, what the fuck's going
it's
on?
It's a shame that, cause, what a cool idea. But also, back then, it's like... Because all you can do with those situations is trust people to say it's going to work, and it did not work, and you were like, oh, that's not my...
Am I right in thinking it was building to the review? Like, you did it for two and a bit hours, and then the review went up straight afterwards.
You know what? I think you're right,
Which, that's mad. In my time at IGN, when will we ever do that again? Yeah. Like, that's so weird. It's great.
That's where it's such a long, crazy period of time. Like, 7 years ago, where... Like live is like a novelty and a weird thing, and it's like you're still thinking about it. Like TV is like counting down something. It's like most people watch this like on demand, where that is an irrelevant concept. Yeah. But back then, you were like, that's how people thought about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Back then.
But then also like every single break, it would be like the Ox is not coming. We were like, what? It's like, what are we going to do for that last segment? And then I think at the last minute, it was like, he's here. But it was
the
just
Ox
like,
is here.
What are we going to do? What
and he was on sparkling form, from what I've seen. He was nonplussed.
You got to put a shift in.
I actually think it turned us into better people.
It turned me into a man.
Whereas at the time, it was absolutely
hardened steel. You have to be smashed about a bit before you work.
Are these all going to be traumatic?
Well, the second one, Battlefield Hardline's Escape Room, that's traumatic for me. Because I'll talk about this very briefly. But it was my last day in the office before I was going off to have my second child. And during that escape room, which you can find on a video podcast somewhere, I was interrogated by someone and I took it way too seriously. And I had a knot in my stomach for about 2 days afterwards. I felt like I actually lived through it.
Sorry, I snorted.
You took it really seriously.
That was a really good laugh, that.
Whereas, like, you've got, again, you'll see it on the video, like, powers being powers, just, like, looking through shit for no reason at all. And I'm there being interrogated in this tiny room, this man leaning on a chair.
You were
like,
so polite as well.
And honestly, my stomach, I was, and it was dreadful. Number three, Barcelona. Which was...
Barcelona!
Was a company trip, because we had a good year.
We had sweet news corps money.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the entire... UK office went to Barcelona for 3 days. And
not jealous.
It was some of the most debauched I've ever seen a lot of people. Like Dan Kilby, who never ever drinks ever, so was
that
sat down.
That lives as like a myth. It Kilby is a being myth drunk because, in Barcelona. Because everyone mentions it.
Because he is obviously probably the most professional person any of us have ever worked with, ever. And he is that all the time. But that one trip. Also, going out in a club with Kilby, you just realise, like, bloody hell.
Yeah.
Like,
People like him.
He's bombarded with attention. You're like, bloody, how are you not an evil person?
Yeah.
I think it says a lot for him as a character that he is not an evil person.
Yeah, yes. I think that's very fair.
And then he was sick outside of a through a cab window into a miniature tree that lived in the hallway of our hotel.
Like, did the tree die over the following days?
It was a fake tree.
Oh.
One of the funniest things from that trip was I was talking to Chris Tilley, who was very drunk.
Oh, this is very funny.
And halfway through the conversation, he literally fell flat on his face. Didn't raise his hands to stop himself.
Yeah, he was so pissed. He didn't even have the impetus for self-protection.
It's like real.
It's like Del Boy, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's real life
and
Del Boy.
And then when he got up, just smashed his nose and blood was all pouring.
You know, when you were saying, like, it was really debauched, like... Yeah.
And he was in the back of the cab. I took him home because, like, you need to get back to the hotel. And he was trying to, like, have a go at me, but he literally couldn't string a single sentence together.
Tilly.
Number four, the Red Dead trip, because we don't go on that many press trips together.
No, not at all, yeah.
But obviously, you being a fan, I think, well, that game came out just before you started at IGN.
Absolutely, talked about my job interview.
And obviously, I wanted to kind of go and do a special press trip. And it was a special press trip because we got to go behind the scenes of Rockstar North, which no one had ever done before. And so I thought that was particularly special.
It was amazing, yeah. I actually thought about that at the time when we did that. It was like, this is a weird full circle sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I talked about that in my job interview because it was like the last big game I played. And it's like, to go see the new one. It's like, before I got this job, like, I was always a big IGN like reader as a kid. And I remember speaking to my cousin on the way back from my job interview. And he was just like, are you going to get a job there? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I think it went well. And he's like, imagine if you got to like review Gears of War 4. Because we used to play Gears of War all the time when I was at uni. He was like, imagine that. And
did
I was
you
like,
review Gears of War 4?
No, I didn't in the end. But just talking through that, it actually blows my mind looking back. I've been so lucky to work here.
It's one of the most amazing things about the industry in general is like just occasionally thinking about what your childhood self would think of what you're doing. It's completely mad.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I definitely got that through my cousin because when I remember interviewing, he was just like, are you going to get this? And I was like, I don't know. Because I'd never worked in the industry before.
Yeah, yeah.
And to get this job like genuinely changed my life in like huge ways, and it's been an incredible experience. Sorry, I'm getting really nostalgic.
I like it.
Yeah,
I know, it's nice. Well, that's it. Like, I've got many memories. The thing I'm going to miss the most, and we've spoken about before, is when we go to the US. Mm. We always have a nice time because we're on the company dime, which is sweet. But we go and enjoy the local beer and chicken wings and just hang out. You know, with two kids, I don't get the chance to hang out that much. But when we go abroad, it's basically lads on tour.
Alex, when you say on tour, you got to say on tour.
But I'm going to genuinely miss that. Like being at San Francisco. We're going to have a little
live hug
on the podcast.
Oh.
So next time I go to San Francisco, you're going to have to book a flight and I'll see you in the chicken wings place.
I will do that. There's a good airport wings.
Got a little chicken wing kitty in the new place.
Rory and Gavin fuming. You're giving what?
Excuse me? How much? It is quite expensive because it's airport prices. But it's a bit much. Little things like that. And you know, when we went over to San Francisco with Bear Park, when we've done E3 with all kinds of people.
It's become a little tradition. Yeah.
They're magical memories.
Yeah. They're magical wings.
They're not that good.
And you're
they're
fine
not that
too.
Good, yeah.
Barney's Beanery, mate. It's the best.
I agree.
Oh, man, yeah, we had
is it Barney's?
It's Barney's Beanery, yeah.
I know it's a beanery.
There's one the airport as well. This is what this podcast become. Some good wing places in LA.
Yeah, that was my first E3 experience. It's Barney's Beanery. It's lovely with you two.
What about you, Joe?
Well, I've got lots of memories, but because we're running short on time, I just want to get into this quiz because I think it's well funny.
What quiz?
I don't know what Joe's going to say here.
I know. So I kind of want you to be, because you were on the podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of interested in what you both remember of Krupa's first podcast, which was number 86. It was called New Faces, Northern Voices.
Yeah.
86, and what are we
on
now?
Oh my god, 400 and something.
It's bloody hell.
So straight off the bat, you're introduced, and obviously
I can't. I'm so
people
sorry,
start talking about your name. There is some, you know, the vibe was different back then. There are some choice phrases I don't think we'd say on podcasts anymore.
Right. Yeah.
But that's not any of the questions. what nickname did Alex say he wanted to give you that you were immediately not keen on?
Also, like, I only know it because I squeezed through it. What a dick I am.
I remember back then, like, people like had a real thing about my accent as well.
That, oh, well,
that
we'll
came
get
up
to that.
A lot.
Yeah.
I have literally no idea.
If I said that the nickname was preceded by Al asking if you were good at cards.
Such a...
like croupier.
Daniel the croupier.
That's clever, isn't it?
Daniel the croupier. I'm
so embarrassed.
You were
that's
asked...
why I don't come on the podcast anymore. Just,
this might serve as a little sort of change of... like show your progression as a man over the years. You were asked what your favourite sandwich was. What did you say?
Cheese?
You said ham and cheese on white...
Ooh, that's a simple
ham and cheese.
What a sucky man I was.
I think that's my 3-year-old's favourite sandwich.
Also, I would say, it's not a bad sandwich.
No.
I know, but
and you were outraged because you were like, not baguette. And you were like, you didn't say
not,
baguette.
No, I was just about to say, some kind of artisan bread, at least.
Oh, my God. But I've not been in London that long at that point. I've been like, I'm still quite a simple man.
What is a bloomer? after some deliberation, the cast decided that you were the second Northerner ever to appear on the podcast, but who was the first?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I don't think this includes guests. I think this is people who would be considered hosts of some kind, but it's not.
Oh, I know.
You know?
Yeah, I think so.
Matt.
Yeah.
You said Pete Donaldson.
Oh,
friend of the podcast, Pete Donaldson.
Oh, okay.
Who that I think sense. Must have appeared yes. as a proper yes. host rather
yeah,
than
yeah.
a guest.
Yeah, maybe. Because I was going to say him, but then you said no guests.
He's like semi-recurring, I guess.
That's
like,
the thing. Yeah, I kind of led you astray.
He's an unofficial member of this podcast. Yeah. He was talking quite a lot by then.
Yeah. Who was Matt?
Matt Wales.
Matt Wales.
He's I don't know
like
Matt Wales.
Barnsley.
You forgot like, Matt Wales then.
No, I didn't. I said Matt.
Well, I mean on the podcast.
When oh, you were I talking see. Back then, it. 86, yes.
He doesn't seem very northern.
Well, I thought he was kind of from Nottingham way. I don't know.
I like this one. Apparently, you used to read games news on this podcast, which I didn't realize until I listened to it.
Yeah, we used to.
It was quite exhaustive.
You said once be more professional, but less professional.
Yes. Your first story, Daniel, was about the first tease for Hitman Absolution, which ended with a barcode appearing on screen. But what unexpectedly happened when that barcode was scanned using an app?
It brought up like a weird website.
You're on the right
an
track.
Inappropriate website.
You're on the right track. Absolutely.
Porn.
Sort of. Can you remember?
No, I've literally no idea.
The barcode linked to an Amazon page for a double-ended dildo case. And you went into exhaustive discussion about if Hitman would keep his silenced pistols in it. If it was like somehow part of the game. I guess it's probably before Saints Row sent out the big dildo badge.
Probably. Oh, God. They must have done that intentionally.
I don't know. Like, back then, why would... Like, barcode scanner apps weren't, like, a big deal in 2011.
7.5 years ago.
Yeah. What's 2011? That's, like, iPhone 3?
The world changed.
Yeah. It's all new. We were still had apps where it looked like you were drinking a beer. Do you remember those?
Yes, I do remember.
They were... You know what? We should bring that back today when we go out. It's going... I think it's that long. No one's seen it.
Yeah.
So it's
oh,
all
my
like,
God, yeah.
Have you seen this before?
It'll be so... It'll probably be so poorly formatted now. Like... Because what was the resolution of the screen at that time? So it'll probably be really tiny in the middle.
Stamp.
God, I'd forgotten about that.
I remember the first person I knew who had an iPhone being like, have a look at this. Unbelievable. It really reacts. There's an accelerometer.
And just 600 quid.
And finally, what did you describe as the worst day of your life?
Ooh. This is on the first podcast.
On the first podcast.
Like, I know what the actual worst day of my life is.
That's what...
Because I do like making jokes about it to make myself feel comfortable about the situation.
But it definitely wasn't that, because as I listened to it, I was like, I'm sure that's not the worst day of your life.
That's quite brave to go in your first podcast, dropping that. Ah, bloody hell. I wouldn't have said this, but like, there's a bit in university. It's not the worst day of my life.
Okay.
But this was really bad. Like, I finished one of my finals exams and I realised I fucked up and I answered the wrong question. And I had to email going, oh, is this okay?
Yeah. Oh, no.
It was like, this thing was like, do one question from this section and one from this section. And I did two questions from one section.
I was like,
I'm going to not. Anyway, probably not that.
It wasn't that. It was your day as an extra for the Inbetweeners movie.
Oh,
you described it as the worst day of your life.
It was pretty horrible.
You said it was bad.
I don't really like nightclubs in general. I don't like dancing. And I had to spend all day in Ministry of Sound.
9 hours for...
trying to dance.
40 quid. 9 hours. That's exactly how you did it on the podcast.
Something's never changed.
Yeah.
40 quid.
It's the scene where that guy like sucks himself off on a platform.
I've never watched the Inbetweeners movie.
Yeah, so are you actually in it? Suck himself.
Can you see yourself?
I think I've looked at it quite a few times. I think you might see my arm at one point.
Right.
Oh,
but yeah. Oh yeah. Not getting any royalties on that.
I'm afraid that I think we're coming to the end of this section, according to Dale's cruel timekeeping.
You're going to all yellow me.
We're
going to go round back, and we're all going to get shot.
Nah, you're coming back for the end. Crooper and Gav. Okay. You, Rory and Gav are going to do a nice little last section. But for now, we'll say farewell, Crooper. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It's an absolute pleasure. You're a very nice man.
You've got any final words for the listeners?
I'm on the spot here. To reiterate what I said earlier, being here is one of the best things that's ever happened to me. Genuinely changed my life. And working here right now has been the favorite time of my life. Being part of a team with you guys literally means the world to me. Mm. So that's what I'm going to say.
I love you, mate.
Oh, my God. Oh, bloody hell, guys.
Hello, we're back. I am Dale Driver, and I'm here with the legend that is Simon Cardy.
Oh, that's very nice. I'm expecting that.
Well, it's in comparison to the absolute splitter called Gavin Murphy. Gavin.
Look, they should have paid me my money, all right? That's what I'm saying.
You shouldn't have done that thing.
Well, let's not do that, considering current climate of a different IGN office.
You're leaving, mate.
I am.
Tell us, why?
Jacking it all in.
What's going on?
Because we're
traitors?
Yeah, that, number one.
Right.
And I mean, obviously, it was a really hard decision to come to.
Yeah, sure.
Like, this is the best job I've ever had. And if I could work forever in this team, that would be amazing. Mm. But if we could all go, it would be great. But as it happens, 3 mouths to feed is a lot. 6 mouths to feed is more.
Yeah.
I'm our business manager at the new company. That's why I've...
That's mad. When you say that out loud, that's mad to me.
Nate, when we've started getting like official documents through and that, being like, you are like company director and stuff like that. I'm just like, this doesn't feel like it should be.
Is it starting to feel real yet?
It better do, man. Because there's no coming back.
You do know what taxes are, do you?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I feel like a bit in The Simpsons where Marge's like, well, if it doesn't work out, you'd always get your job back. But not the way I quit.
Burn the bridges, baby. So we just thought we'd keep it simple and talk about some favourite memories. Like, okay. And if you've got any off the top of your head.
Of ever?
Of like just working at IGN.
Or me.
Working at IGN, I think... the stuff that we get to do, like, I think fucking about with celebrities to bring them on the podcast is probably good. I think the Josh Brolin interview I did was pretty good.
Right.
I think, to be fair, like SummerSlam, like when we did SummerSlam, that's one of my favorite memories because there's a lot of booze goes on those trips. But actually, like, I feel like we've always worked really hard on those wrestling things and we got some really good stuff, especially that trip as well, even though we had to get up at like 5 or 6 in the morning to film stuff.
That leads into like what my favourite memory is. Like, obviously, like we always got on, we're always friends, but I really felt on that trip like really like went to the next level of bonding with you and getting on with you.
What happened?
You don't want to know, young Simon. But my favourite memory of that trip is just being absolutely fucking when SummerSlam was happening, and me and you just betting on the entire event.
Yeah.
And you can still look to this day on the IGN UK Twitter account. There's a picture of me and Gav like betting, and look absolutely trashed. Professional. Well,
did he ever pay you the money for beating him at Street Fighter, or if it was?
No, so that was no. I owed him money for the SummerSlam. Yeah. I paid him at Gamescom. And I paid him in euros instead of pounds, and he completely forgot about it and kept going on about it. On the podcast, he brought up that I owed him money.
I can't spend euros, can I?
You were in Germany. You could spend the euros.
No, that was a good trip. I feel like there's an image of us floating around somewhere where we're both dressed in tutus and
Oh, God, yeah.
I haven't seen this
and Japanese headbands.
Jesus,
that was a horrible.
You two haven't been out on a trip again since, have you?
What about you, Simon? What's your favourite Gavin memory?
Getting you the job.
That was a good one, yeah. Cheers for that, I suppose. I did help myself as well.
Giving you the jump from fan to to realising your dreams.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good memory.
Giving me a platform for my views.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Is that good?
Questionable ones, yeah. As long as obviously you keep the stuff about, you know, the beast from the east, as you call it. If you keep that stuff quiet, you'll do
that
just
snowstorm
right.
Storm,
yeah, it's not snow, is it?
My views on that snowstorm. I don't know. Going to see Iron Maiden was a bit mad, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and just interviewing them. We will make a video from that. It will come out at some point.
Yeah,
but that was mad. Just standing next to Colin Hendry, me in a Gavin Murphy and Colin Hendry sandwich, watching Iron Maiden.
Name a better trio.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, Gavin, I've got a little mini quiz for you. For the Quizmaster.
Okay.
It's all about your first podcast, mate. I went back and listened to podcast in full.
Who's on it with me?
So it was you, Tilly, and Krupa.
Okay. He should know.
No, that wasn't the question. That wasn't the question. Okay, first question, though, is can you remember the number of the episode and what the name of the episode was?
Fuck knows. It's got to be 220-something, maybe? 230-something?
Higher.
260.
No, 252 is what
okay,
it was.
Okay, yeah. And that was my next guess.
You can't remember the episode name, right?
Fuck knows.
It was called The Podcasting Hour.
Why?
Because it was a Halloween special, apparently. I'm going to be honest, it wasn't the best episode. Okay, so you got that wrong, Ang. Question number two. Great start. You said you played with an Ouija board as a kid. And something weird happened.
Yeah.
What was it?
It said, "Why is Morrow dead?" And then a train crashed in South Wales and the driver was on like mad prescription drugs, which means he shouldn't have been driving the train. And I think it was like a newspaper headline said, "Why is Morrow dead?" Like the train driver was called something something Muck Morrow, I think.
Right. But wasn't it like 2 months later as well?
Yeah,
but it's mad.
I don't know.
I
don't know how the mystic arts work.
Have you heard of the word coincidence?
That is absolutely not a coincidence.
When have you ever heard the word morrow more than once?
Exactly.
In a year?
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
Show me up there, mate. Absolutely. That's a tick for that one.
Yeah.
So you said when you were kids, you and your sister wrote lyrics to which game soundtrack?
Streets of Rage 2.
And can you remember the lyrics?
I remember one song because the music was like, it was like Streets of Rage, and like how will we survive on the streets of Rage.
You gave way more in this podcast than you did in that one.
Was because genuinely I was really nervous. Like it was really funny because I think just before going in, Tilly said to me, "Oh, it must be like awesome." It must be awesome, like listening to the podcast as long and then being on the podcast. And I was like, I don't fucking listen to a single episode of that podcast, mate. Not for me.
First moment, he's like, "Oh, super fan, Gavin." Yeah.
But it was like the Simon thing, but obviously that's real. But with me, I'd never listened to a single episode of the IGN UK podcast.
I can relate, Simon. I was a fan beforehand as well. Yeah. I just kept it together, though. They would never would have guessed.
Some of us care.
But also, I kept it together. But also, the way I would say it's like I was nervous, man. So I was nervous about being on a podcast, especially because I think there's a line that Krupp says in my first podcast, which I remember, because I was nervous because all leading up to it, everyone was like, "Oh, he does loads of podcasts."
Yeah.
And I think Krupp says, like, "You do you got podcast chops."
You're a podcast veteran, I think he says.
Yeah. So I was like, "Ah, shit." So I was nervous that I had to perform, and then I obviously completely underperformed. Whereas now, I'm thinking of a shit, so it's good.
Also, quick interjection. It's a shop question here. Was your mic on that podcast?
Don't know.
It feels like it wasn't. It feels like, I don't know who was doing it.
on there, was I?
That was Beer Park. That was Bond Beer Park. That was.
Question number four.
Yeah.
You talked about an episode of The X-Files that still terrifies you to this day.
Yeah.
Which one was it?
Home.
It is Home.
With the Peacock family and the mum living under the bed. Anyone who listens to this podcast and listens to the Andy Serkis interview that we did, because Joe and I both love that. But Joe and I both love that episode. And a mad, weird coincidence is, you know, the fucking massive orangutan in all the Planet of the Apes films?
Right, yeah.
That's the woman who's under the bed in that. Like, have you seen the episode of Home I'm talking about?
No, I haven't seen the episode, but
so it's like it's like a family of incest people who've all been shagging their mum for years and having babies. But she was in a car accident, so she's got no arms or legs. This is actually Letter Nation. but she's under.
Why is this scary then?
What do you mean? Why is it scary?
Obviously, that's weird, but it's not scary.
Mate, it is scary. It's like the tone of it is scary.
Is someone being kept against her will or something?
No, she loves it. But
I mean, I've got nothing else going on.
Yeah. But they keep her on the bed. But anyway, the woman who plays the woman under the bed is also the woman with the orangutan. So I think we brought it up with Andy Serkis, and he was just like, yeah, whatever.
Brilliant. Yeah.
good for you, lads.
Last question.
Okay.
You have a feature where you talk about. So I don't remember this, but you used to do a feature where you talk about all the games and movies coming out this week at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, we used to, yeah.
Yeah. Can you remember what the biggest game release was that week?
Ooh.
4 years. Was it October 31st, 2014?
October 5th would have been like that shitty Tomb Raider Chronicle one or something like that.
Nope.
I used to hate that feature on the podcast so much.
Yeah, I was wondering why we cut it.
Absolutely hated it. Because it was like, I think our podcast now, and like generally doing this podcast is one of my favorite things in the world. But I feel like if you want the news and shit, it was this mad thing where you have to be like, if you did the... we had to put that on the end of it. Right, so it was this mad thing. We're just like, what's coming out? It's like, no one really give a fuck about it.
No. We're like, who's listening to the end of the podcast for that as well?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I think
I'd say we bring it back.
Yeah.
Got a lot of filler.
You know,
get rid of that finally.
The answer was Sunset Overdrive, by the way.
I fucking hate that game as well.
Just a couple of interesting notes as well, not really questions, but you were talking about Marvel Phase 3. They just announced when Black Panther was coming out.
Oh shit,
like
amazing.
And you said at one point, you're talking about they've announced these films for 2019. You said, I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 2019.
Don't really?
Now you know, mate.
Well, I don't think he does. That's the problem.
We've got an idea. Yeah. We have part of a plan. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And lastly, you bring up The Purge. And
do
talk about how much you love it as a concept.
Yes, mate.
So nothing changes, right?
Absolutely no. And I think it's we've obviously, while you're listening to this, you would have already listened to the Prestige special that we put out on Christmas Day, where we did an entire screening on a podcast about the Prestige. But for years before Joe worked here, we talked about how much we loved the Prestige.
Yeah.
And so then when Joe came to work here, it was amazing because then we started talking about it in a professional capacity. But the same with The Purge. Joe and I talked about the concept of The Purge fucking way too long.
Yeah. Stay tuned for the screening of The Purge next year.
still never seen any of The Purges.
Mate, they're good Christmas films.
They're good concepts.
Yeah.
Bad execution.
Absolutely, yeah.
Maybe I won't.
Yeah. Good. Did I win? Did I win the quiz?
Who gives a fuck?
You got a
life. You did all right. Yeah, you got most
three,
of them.
3 out of 5.
That's pretty good.
That's over 50%. 60% even.
Yeah.
If you're good at maths.
Thanks.
We have no idea how Krupa did.
No.
We'll find out.
Yeah. I reckon he did well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it, Gav.
Ah, lads. Here we are.
Any final words?
Well, I'm coming back on a bit to keyword countdown. So, I've said a bunch of things where I've been like, I love doing this podcast. It's very rare that you finish recording a podcast, and I reckon if you went back through almost all the ones we've recorded, absolutely, it ends with us going, that was wicked.
Yeah. That's a good laugh, that was.
Yeah, or something like that. And I think it never feels like a chore. Whereas when I started, it was a different story.
Yeah.
Whereas now I feel like this is the best team I've ever worked with. And I think that is apparent on the podcast. I think I'm not on the IGN UK feedback thing anymore because I deleted it by accident and I don't know how to get back. But
don't need it anymore, mate.
Don't need it. But I think lots of the feedback that we get from people are they generally feels like it's just mates hanging about. because it is.
It absolutely is. Yeah, that's the thing I'm going to miss the most, to be honest, mate. Like, I'm not going to... Obviously, there's a great working relationship here, but the most thing I'm going to miss is just seeing you three every day and just like just hanging out with mates all the time. And that's going to...
And I'll never play Keyword Countdown ever again.
Ever again. Oh, once we take it out of the back and shoot it.
All right,
come up with a new game. Come up with a new game.
Yeah,
Boss Keyword Countdown. What's that? Oh, no, I've already come up with that. Can't have a vibe.
We'll figure something.
All right, thank you very much, lads. That was great.
And we're back.
Hey!
It's me, Simon, still here in your ears. And I'm back... Guess who's back?
Oh my God.
Back again. It's Joe Screbbles.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, still. Yeah, I'm still good.
Good.
And we're here. You're lovely. I like you. You have loyalty. You have strength.
Whoa! I did one of those jokes to Cooper as well. Yeah.
Did you get put on
and here
blast?
We have more scum.
Jesus.
How you doing, Rory?
I was doing fine. I was doing really good, yeah.
You ready to fucking cry?
So I don't
need?
Know. All I've seen is Cooper go into a room and come out in tears. Yeah. Gav go into a room, come out in tears.
Was he in tears?
No, they weren't actually.
No, he wasn't.
Well, Cooper was, no.
Was he actually?
Yeah, Cooper had to have, like, stop for little hugs.
Coward.
He's a very sentimental man.
I don't look
man.
Back. He's, I only look forward. I'm like
well,
a
we're
shark.
Well, we're looking back now.
That's exactly what I said to Cooper. I was like, oh, you've got such exciting things on the horizon, but yeah, don't really care about
Let's dwell on the past. Joe, have you got any fond memories of Rory?
Because
I don't.
I was thinking about this. And I was thinking about how... because you join a new team and there's lots of people to get to know.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, what's the moment where I really felt like I got a handle on Rory as a person? And I looked through to look through my phone to, like, just to confirm with myself that this must have been right. It was in my first month at the company. We got sent on a trip to Sweden to see Undisputed Classic Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
That was a good trip.
It was a really good trip, and we had a lot of fun. I felt we bonded as colleagues and friends.
Lovers.
And then and lovers. And then the end of that trip, I've got one photo from that trip, and it's you on a weird Swedish airport bench, like just fucking passed out, like arms hanging up the edge. It's like, it's not, I'll find it. It's not even like... It doesn't look at all comfortable. I don't know how you fucking managed it, but you just died on this bench.
Oh my
it was
God.
Brilliant.
The fact that I don't remember this at all is actually a testimony to how true it is.
Because I think we must have had like a big night just on the last night there. Yeah, here it is. Maybe I'll put this in the description or something. It's just
Jesus. Oh my God, I'm genuinely dead.
That's like something from Haunting of Hill House.
It looks like you've been shot. You've just fallen that way.
That looks like that could be a sculpture in a town hall. Like the Fallen King or something.
Of course it's the Fallen King.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to call it the little dirt peasant.
But my favourite memory of working with you is the invention of Spookovich.
Oh, man.
It's like actually changing human history.
Yeah.
A start.
It's the only game I think that I've been playing. It's the game I played the longest here at IGN.
Yeah, more than Overwatch.
Yeah, and that says a lot for working at a video game company.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, man. Like, that is such a great story to tell people, and how much that game has evolved now.
Yeah.
I'm sure the people on the podcast, if they haven't played it themselves, are now sick of us talking about it. But even in the last year with the invention of Spookovich Turbo.
The real PvP variant.
I mean, I'm going to put out there. I think it's a superior form of the game.
I think Turbo's a better game. Spookovich is an activity.
We had the Intercontinental Championships at Gamescom this year.
We did.
Which I sadly lost... to Alexio from our
Alexio
team.
Was a very fucking good. Legend.
Ice in his veins.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And
yeah.
He invented a new move, the Tomahawk.
The Tomahawk.
So it's exciting to announce that I'm going to be leaving to set up the professional Spookovich Twitch League.
I would love if that's actually what
that
you're
happened,
off to do.
I would go mental.
Because it's not an e-sport and it's not a sport.
It's a bar sport. It's a bar sport. It's like darts.
It's a game.
BS, baby.
It's a game, not a sport.
It's
a game.
It's BS.
But the night we invented it is legitimately one of the best nights out I've ever had.
Yeah.
Like, just coming up with it really early on and how out of hand it got. How so quickly.
But
not in a mean way to other people, not like lads.
Yeah. Mm.
Just like that I just remember us sitting drunk at 7 a.m.
In just that tiny little German bar.
In a tiny little bar, the only bar that seemed to stay open in Cologne, just being like, this genuinely could be big. Like, if we did this on the first night, if we did this on Twitch, I reckon people would watch it. It's just like going mental about it.
I remember that was the same night where we were all out at the one bar with a bunch of people in the games industry, and I was talking with the PR at the bar,
And they were like, oh, IGN UK, the lads of the games industry. And I was like, we're not the lads of the games industry. And at that moment, I looked over and Gav had come back to the table with like a fistful of Ronies. And everyone was just chanting, Ronies, Ronies, Ronies. And I was
and
like, oh, God.
Night, he was having a fight with a man holding a bottle of champagne in a McDonald's just after it had opened and the police had to be called.
Speaking of fights, I think me and Rory are two people that I don't know if you've ever been in any sort of confrontation.
Which is weird, you know, because you get two bulls in the office, two alpha dogs.
But I've never been in a fight. I'm a very calm individual. I think you're in that similar sort of boat.
I'm a tranquil river.
Mm. We got close one time. The night that I almost threw a pot of beans over Rory.
I don't remember this.
I don't think you remember.
So it was after a night out. It was probably like this time last year. It was around Christmas time. And we were playing, we'd been in the pub for a good few hours and we'd come back upstairs to play Overwatch.
Oh, I'd left by this point because I remember hearing this in retrospect.
It was just me, Rory, Krupa and Sam in our office as well.
Yeah.
And we were playing Overwatch and we ordered some pizzas in because we were hungry. It's the thing you do.
Caroline's?
Caroline's,
it was
baby.
One of those deals where it comes with like beans and chips. Didn't that one really
All
was.
The stuff that you don't need.
Yeah. And while I went downstairs to collect the food that I'd ordered on my card for everybody.
Yeah, which we're all going to pay you back for.
Yeah.
Wasn't Cardi Street.
It was a nice, kind gesture that I paid for it and went downstairs to collect it. In that meantime, Rory goes onto my Overwatch account and buys 10 loot boxes on my account using my money. And in hindsight, I was far too aggravated by this than I ever should be because I probably would have bought them anyway. But it was just, I remember, because I was quite drunk, just going, you wouldn't just take £10 out of my wallet, would you?
Did you ever, do you remember what you got in those boxes?
Absolutely nothing.
I was going to say, like, because you would really remember what came out of those ones.
Yeah, imagine it was just like legendary.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, what are you going to, pay me back. I was like, give it back now. And then I just had this pot of beans and I was like, I'll throw beans on you if you don't give me 10 quid.
It was like the most Partridge thing in the world. I was like, I've got beans.
What I love about this is you teed it up as like, closest we ever got to a fight. It's like, Rory had no part in the fight element.
Oh,
of
he
this.
Did. He was confused.
Exactly. He wasn't fighting.
Well,
back.
He started it.
He didn't. It wasn't an act of aggression, though. It wasn't like he went.
For spent you. My money.
Still angry. I love how like clearly bitter you are about this. It's like, it's not so much as a memory as a burning resentment, and I'll never get over
and
it.
I've been waiting till today to bring it up again.
There's also the lovely time we spent in Lyon, but I don't want to talk about that. I'd rather talk about the beans. Nice.
We had some good times in Lyon. Remember that quiche in the morning?
Yeah, and those breakfast cookies.
I ate like a whole quiche one morning hungover.
It's fucking beautiful.
It's really good, yeah.
I hear a surprising number of quiche-related hangover stories these days.
I've never liked a quiche.
I'm not huge into it. Yeah. It's not a big deal. We were talking with Krupa about, because this was your first job in the industry, and it was the same for Krupa. And he was talking about remembering exactly how he felt when he thought he might get the job. Like, do you have that moment in your head where it's like, shit, this could actually happen?
Oh, absolutely. I think I've told it before on this podcast, but I probably have one of the weirdest stories of how I got into this industry, which was after university, I moved back to Northern Ireland where, you know, everyone has that little stopgap where it's like work a couple of regular jobs. So I was like, I worked in like an Italian restaurant. I worked in New Look as a assistant. And then at the time I was wanting to move out to California because my sister lived out there and Northern Ireland is gross and wet and rainy. And I was like, I want some sunshine, baby. So I was like, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get the heck out of here. So I was applying for jobs, video editing jobs at various games companies out in San Francisco and LA. And then one day when I went onto the job site, I forgot to set my location to America. And it was drawing my current location, which was Northern Ireland. And the job at IGN UK popped up, me thinking it was IGN in LA. So I sent the application and I sent my resume and everything and I got an email back. Yeah. Then realizing that it was the UK office, I was like, well, I'm not going to go to this. I wanted to move out to California. And I checked the dates for the interview and it was the day before I was graduating in Wales. Mm. So I was like, I am going to be over anyway. I could just change the flight a day earlier, do the interview, graduate, and then go back home.
What an international jet setter you are. I know. From Northern Ireland to England to Wales.
And then I got called back for a second one. And this is really funny because I always remember talking to Al beforehand and being like, he wanted to do the interview like 9 a.m. Mm. And I was like, oh, is there any way we could move it to later, like maybe midday, so that I didn't have to fly into London at like 5 a.m. And then leave. And he was like, no, sorry, like I can't move it. Like, knowing Al now, he absolutely could have moved that meeting. And I got fucked so hard because I had to fly out at like 3 a.m. to get to London for that interview. But it was great. I was really surprised. And I think because it was my first job in the interview, I remember probably different to Krupa and Gav, as soon as he was like, yeah, are you interested in the job? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And he was like, okay, do you want to know the salary? Or anything? Exactly. Like, I just took the job before I heard like anything about it. And it was just such an exciting opportunity.
Yeah. And so then cool. A few weeks after getting the job, you did your first podcast.
Oh, God.
And I've got a little mini quiz for you, Rory, about that.
Oh, no.
So first of all, do you remember what number podcast that would be?
Okay, so me and Gav started, and one of the first things we did was podcast 250.
Fiddy.
So I'm going to say 257.
Oh, 253. That's
That's a good effort, quick.
Okay. It's weird because you joined on the same day as Gav, right?
Yeah, we did.
Whereas,
I think he hated me.
But he was on the podcast a week earlier than you. You're going to take that.
I mean, I completely understand that.
So
I remember sitting down for the podcast for the first time and just like, I was like, okay, don't say too much because you don't want to hog the conversation, but don't say too little because people got to hear you talk. I was so scared.
It's a recurring theme between you and Krupa. Gav probably not because he did loads of podcasts beforehand.
Yeah.
But you both say you were really nervous about it. On the podcast, you both come across so much more confident than you have any right to be. Like, Krupa's like answering back to Alex and stuff, like jokes and things. I was like, fucking hell, I would never have done that.
It was mental. Go in with some balls.
I'd just be like, good joke, sir. Thank you, sir.
You were really good. Don't worry.
Thank you.
So you said, you moved to London pretty much when you started the job, is that right? Like, you were barely in London before you started.
The first couple of days of work I had here, I was living in like a hotel. So I would like finish work and go back to the hotel. So
this is related to this. Can you remember on the podcast, you say what you did with your first free weekend in London?
Ooh, did I go to the British History Museum?
No.
Did I not?
You went to Tokyo Toys. I know this. And then from the cashier, got a free ticket to see the Final Fantasy Orchestra.
Yeah.
What a mad story.
How did that happen?
It was the most mental thing. I literally, there were some people who I guess had like come to London for that event and their friend couldn't make it. They canceled on them. So they went to Tokyo Toys during the day because they were nerds. And I guess they just told the cashier, they were like, look, our friend's not coming. We have this free ticket. If you want to give it to someone who is in the store, like that's fine with us. So then like I was waiting in line and I heard him offering it to people. And I think people just were really suspicious. They're like, oh, I have no idea. Like, no, I don't want that. So he came up and he was like, do you want a ticket to see the Final Fantasy Orchestra tonight? And I was like, yes.
I love that gentle, trusting Rory's first weekend in London. He's like,
is it like this everywhere?
The city of friendship.
I walk out and it's the Queen ready to shake my hand. But it was funny because I took the ticket. I went to the show. And I was sitting.
You must be sitting
I was
next
sitting
them,
next
yeah.
to the guys, yeah. and they were like, "Oh, did you get the ticket?" And I was like, "Yeah, nice to meet you." Like, I work at IGN now. And they were like, "Oh, that's cool." And I was like, "It is."
Well, speaking of working at IGN, when you were first starting, the first things you were kind of doing were hosting news videos.
Yeah.
Fresh faced. Can you remember what you said? The first comment you read on one of your news hosted news videos.
Oh, it's so funny.
I think I can because someone was talking to me about it the other day. Was it something about surfing?
It is. It's, whoa, dude, did you catch some gnarly waves?
Oh, God. I actually did. I did a lot of surfing in Northern Ireland, which I don't know if that makes it funnier or less funny.
I love that someone's just watched and gone, here we go. Got a banger.
I can't even go back and look at those old news videos.
Well, it's really annoying because for fairly obvious reasons, we've been looking through a lot of stuff that you three have done in your time here. And there's like this legend of because you do a screen test as part of your interview process. God. And there's like a we cannot find this fucking video of you where you're apparently wearing glasses because you never wear glasses.
I am like, this was the interview that I flew into London at 7 a.m. for. So I like show up. I've got like, my hair looks like a bird's nest that's been attacked by an angry crow.
Was that by design?
Probably at the Yeah. Like big glasses, big puffy cheeks because I've been rushing around London like an ill-fitting shirt. And I'm like, GTA have just announced there's going to be a new era. And I'm so nervous. I'm like not even moving at all. It's awful. So I'm glad you guys cannot find
it. Find it. So
one day we will. Can you remember you had some big news on the running order to bring to the show?
You've done this. Look, I can't believe that's a running theme because you occasionally do just go like, I've got big news. Shrek reboot.
And you were really excited about this. It was something coming to London in the near future.
Ooh. Oh, man. Something coming to London. It's going to be a... Is it like a restaurant?
Similar. It was that stupid cereal cafe.
The cereal cafe. And yeah.
Why were you excited by that?
I've been a couple of times now. It's fantastic. Have you been before?
No, I'm not paying £4 for a bowl of cereal.
But it's not regular cereal, Cardi. It's special cereal. That's it's fair, like mate. Stuff that unicorns would shit out. It's magic.
I'm not into that.
Also, funny story. When the last podcast... or one of the recent ones that I was on where we did the special announcement, which turned out to be Shrek.
Mm.
At the start of that one, I think it was you.
Yeah, yeah.
You were like, oh, imagine if it was just Rory saying he's leaving IGN. And I was like, ha ha ha. Yes, what a funny joke, Chums.
Like 2 days later, we got taken into a meeting room.
And I'm just dressed as Shrek. I'm leaving.
Surprise, motherfuckers.
The ultimate twist.
You know, we were talking about the cast. I'm Shrek.
So far, you've got half a point. Hmm. One, I'll give you one for that comment. One, you knew it was surfing.
Okay.
You knew. The last one, you guys were talking about 3D printers. I don't know why.
Okay.
And you were asked by Al, I believe, what food would you print 3D print if you could print any food?
You were really excited. You told me about this last night at drinks. Like, you came up, I was like, this is mental.
It's mad. What food would you 3D print if you could print anything? Knowing you as well, I'm like, I've never seen you eat this.
Yeah. It's going to be like a salad or something. God, all right. Because I would say now, I think I would probably say pizza.
Okay.
Because it's so universal, you can have so many different kinds of pizza. But I'm assuming by the look on your face, it's not pizza.
It's definitely pizza. Not pizza.
I have no idea.
A crab or lobster? Because I think you were going on the theory, yeah, and he could just run around. It's like, he won't create life. It'll just print the food.
Maybe I was thinking if you print the most expensive food, you can then make profit.
Because if you apparently lobsters, said about it running around, yeah, so you just wanted a pet.
You're not printing the animal.
I would print an entire cow and ride him around the office. It's like, no, you've missed the point of food. Yeah.
But yeah, that was... You did, well, you didn't do well, but it was funny, wasn't it?
All those memories, guys, just that's pretty gone
much,
now.
Yeah, that's pretty much the theme of this podcast.
Have you got anything you'd like to say, Rory? Anything to any special people out there?
Yeah, to my mum and my dad, I just want to say thanks for having sex and bringing me to the world.
Yeah.
No, I just, it's quite sad, honestly. I think, like, you know, the announcement was made internally like a while ago, but it's just kind of been these days of living in limbo until today, because this is actually my last day in the office.
Yeah.
I think the guys have maybe like one or two more because I got to go back to Northern Ireland. Yeah, it's sad. It's really sad. I don't really know what else to say. I'm going to miss you guys so much.
We'll still see you. We'll force you to go out for wasabi.
Well, that's the nice thing is that we all have like ways of keeping in touch outside of work. Similar
we literally live a few miles away from each other.
Yeah,
I mean, that's also good, true. Yeah. We got to go to Coco's Curry House when I get back.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be so good.
I'm going to miss you guys.
Let's just base any future meetings around katsu curry.
Yeah.
I'm into
that. It's actually a really nice way of doing it. Yeah. Anytime you want a katsu, you've got to meet up.
Have we talked about Chicken Ambition on the...
We haven't spoken about when we went to Japan at all.
Yeah, because we can't talk about why we went to Japan.
But we can talk about... Do you want to explain what Chicken... It's your final entry into podcast lore.
This sounds very fitting.
What describe to everyone what Chicken Ambition is.
There's a very popular curry house in Japan called, is it Coco's?
Coco Ichibanya.
Coco Ichibanya. And we went there to sample their delicacies for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I'm a fan of chicken, guys. You should know that about me.
And you have ambition.
And I have a lot of ambition.
You wouldn't 3D print it, but it's good.
No. They don't do lobster curries, unfortunately. So we found one curry they offered, which was three different types of chicken. Mm. Fried chicken, the chicken...
Cutlet,
and then just
stewed chicken.
Stewed chicken as well.
Too much chicken.
Which we read out the Japanese name for it.
Chicken Zaibatsu.
It was called, the whole thing was called Chicken Ambition. So I think three of us got Chicken Ambition.
Yeah, I didn't finish it. I don't know about you.
It destroyed me. And we had a long day ahead of us as well. And
you don't need to mess with a katsu curry. The original is the best.
The original's fine. Although, I don't know.
But
given the opportunity, Chicken Ambition again, baby.
The reason we're excited is because Coco's coming to Leicester Square. Oh, it's in open. Leicester Square. It's out.
Yeah.
It's out.
It's out now in all local Leicester Squares.
Still unconfirmed whether they do the Zaibatsu, but we've got to find out.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Let's go get a curry.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rory.
But not before the traitorous dogs of IGN UK have a little section all of their own.
Yeah, where they probably slag us off to no end.
This is weird, isn't it? They just let us in a room.
Why have they left us?
Is this because they think we'll slip up?
Too late now.
Yeah.
They don't even have to be in here wearing a wire. They've just put three mics in front of our mouths. They're like, they're not smart enough to not fuck up.
Like all the private meetings we have in this room are all recorded.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing can go wrong.
What are we actually doing on this
podcast? I have no idea, mate. I think he said we're out of the chat, and I do have a final keyword countdown because they're not having that, let me tell you. Like, I came up with that before I worked at IGN, so I like save that in the first time we played it.
Are you the Jack Kirby?
Yeah.
That's my drawing.
Well, I think it is one of those things where like anything, we've got one of those mad contracts where it's like
everything we've done is owned by
IGN.
We're on the Ditko Stanley I'm not saying we're Stanley and Steve Ditko.
I am Stanley.
I am Steve Ditko.
I went back to the first time that we ever played Keyword Countdown just to listen to it, and I was like, and I do say,
you're right, Gav,
you'll never take this. Gav, I leave. Gav,
you are right. The first time we played it in a pub in 1994,
yeah,
when you mailed it to me in a self-addressed envelope.
I was like, I've been playing this for years, so if they try and take this,
I'll take you.
They'll never take me.
Is that what you're doing on your last day? You're just running out. You're like, you'll never take Keyword Countdown.
It's like, we don't want it.
We've been telling you that since you started. They hate it.
Gav, we cut it out every week.
The thing is, though, there's some people who... I think there's some people who like it and some people generally don't. Yeah. So
that's fine. Why it's at the end.
That's why it's at the end. If you don't like it, you can breeze through it. But yeah, it's good. We're leaving, man. I said it to Dale on that, but it's like, if you go back and listen to, I reckon, any recording, there's very few recordings of this podcast that if you listen to the very end, don't end with us getting up going, that was fucking brilliant, or I just had a really good laugh doing that.
Yeah.
And we usually cut it out because it's a bit indulgent, but I've said it twice in this podcast.
But we told us about the podcast, like, what we're going to do, what format is, like, it's just got to the point where you can put any three of us in the room and you just have a really nice time with two people you really love and care about.
Absolutely,
and have a good laugh.
Yeah.
And that's what this podcast has become in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
Well, there's a period of time, I've worked here for a long time, and kind of lost the way, like, what is this podcast? Different people change. Now it's just going talking to two mates. And
I think definitely in the last year or two, it's really hit its stride. I mean, remember even when I first joined and it was more of a, like, I would come in here with notes and like things written out, like facts to like list off.
You should still
stuff.
Be coming in with those.
No. And now I just, I have a couple beers beforehand in the men's bathroom.
You do like a little nolly on the way in.
Kickflip right into my chair.
He's grinding.
Y'all play any Fortnite?
He's grinding on the table right now.
Tony Hawk style, just circling. No,
grinding.
Yeah, I think we talked about it the other day. It was like, I never get nervous or anything like that doing this podcast. Or I don't usually get nervous with celebrities and that anyway. I've talked about the ones that I did get nervous with on this podcast. I don't need to do that again. But like, I think part of the reason I don't is because I go, this will be this, if whatever happens in this interview will make them laugh when I take it back.
Even if I fuck up.
Like, even if I fuck up, it'll be really funny. Yeah. Like, yeah. And that's why I never feel nervous doing interviews or anything like that. What was really gutted though, like that we never got put on like an E3 panel or something like that altogether.
Because you know why? Like, you know why? We don't have enough service to handle the traffic. Like, if they said we're on a service, it's like, I actually spoke to Perabow. He's like, can we do E3 together? He's like, no, we can't. We don't have enough money. Amazon does not have enough cloud.
Yeah. I've been on a couple at E3 where, like, you know, the people in the US are very professional and they know their onions. But I've been on a couple of panels where they've been like, so Gav, like, do you think this is a good direction for the franchise? And I'm like, oh, can we give less of a shit.
And that's why we were never invited back.
Actually, that was my last EP. But
yeah, what do you think about the future of this IP? I couldn't give less of a fuck.
I remember doing the E3 stream this year, and there was a part of like a live stream that I was on where they were like, all right, we're going to be talking about like what possible franchises you'd like to see the Battle Royale genre come to. Yeah. And it was like, one of them was Star Wars Battlefront. Like, yeah. Another one was Battlefield before it came. And I was like, Animal Crossing New Leaf. Like, I want to drop in with a shovel and hammer animals just to death. It,
smashing apples into your face.
It's like, last one alive is the mayor.
Yeah, and so
that'd actually work.
Yeah, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
Last one alive is mayor of nothing. Yeah. Just devastation. Clean up.
Good.
Oh, good.
There we are.
I was about to say, I'm going to miss you, boys. Yeah. Like, wait a minute. Yeah, you're coming with me. Yeah.
But
coming with me.
You're coming with you. And one thing that we're also taking with us for never use
this
again.
This is what we're even going to go adapt this into an actual show.
It's a little game I like to call for the final time. If you don't know what Keyword Countdown is, probably doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, he's off the rails.
He's gone.
IMDb categorized their films by a bunch of crazy keywords. What I've done, or what John Montgomery has done for the very final special Keyword Countdown.
Thanks, John.
Is come up with 5 films, 10 keywords apiece. You guys have to guess those films and guess what the link is. I believe you've all seen every single one of these films.
Ooh. Okay.
But I'll throw it out there now.
Is the theme leaving?
They were all released on January 7th, these films.
Are Darren Browning it?
About new beginnings.
What's your Twitter? At Krupa. What's your at Rory has powers? Mine's at Cameron Gab. Anyway, done that. January 7th. Okay, film number one. Minimal cast.
Glengarry Glen Ross.
Hitchcockian.
Rope. That is very Hitchcockian.
Yeah. Can't get much Hitchcockian, I have it. Solitude.
Ooh. Oh, 127 hours?
Cult film.
The Room?
Minimal.
The Shining.
Single set production.
Ooh.
Shining would have been
a great keyword.
Yeah. Before that, Shining is a good guess.
Very good guess.
Isolation.
Would still be a good guess.
Could be The Shining. Is it The Shining?
It's not The Shining.
Okay. I really love The Shining.
Alone Against the Odds.
Revenant.
Short-term memory.
Memento.
Donnie Darko.
Computer.
Single room, like Pi.
Final clue, astronaut.
2001 Space Odyssey?
Nope.
Minimal cast astronauts.
Minimal cast, Hitchcockian.
Moon.
Yeah, well done. Well done. Bloody
hell.
There you go, 1 point.
Well done, last
one.
Well
1 point, Krupa. But as I always say, and I'm saying for the last time, it's more, if you don't get in here, it's more fun for the people at home. Film number 2. Intentionally misspelled title.
Ooh.
Wow, that's a great one. Clue.
Although hard to put at the top, as we've said.
Because now I'm like, things. I'm not going to guess anything.
Yeah. Ends with biographical notes.
So it's pretty good. Real life thing.
Unhappy marriage.
What is this?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That is misspelled.
Underdog. Financial problem.
Moneyball.
Wolf of Wall Street. I know they're not spelled wrong. Yeah, but you got spewing a bunch of stuff out now. Yeah.
American Dream.
Gags in New York.
American. The Maker. What's that one about the McDonald's guy?
All the President's Men.
Internship.
Social network.
Father-son relationship.
Bloody hell, what's this?
What is this?
Homeless man.
Changing trading places.
Final clue. Rubik's Cube. Intentionally misspelled title. Ends with biographical notes. Unhappy marriage. Underdog. Financial problem. American dream. Internship. Father-son relationship. Homeless man. Rubik's Cube. Pursuit of happiness.
Oh, I've not seen that.
Neither have I. No. I haven't seen Moon either. You guaranteed me.
Is that the one where he's put the jellyfish on him? No, that's £8.
Yeah.
£8 of jellyfish?
That's good, that is.
I've never seen that. Yeah, it's good. I just know about the ending.
Yeah, yeah. Pursuit of happiness is good. It's really sad, though.
Would you guys, off topic, would you pee on me if I got stung by a jellyfish?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, really quickly. I'd pee on you anyway. You want to pee on you now?
Like, yeah, please stop. You've got a jellyfish in your
hands. Get out.
I got stung by a jellyfish once.
I'd pee on you. Yeah. I'd pee on both you guys.
Is that genuinely, like, does that help?
Well, I said to the dude, I was like, should we pee on? He was like, no, I can give you this cream if you want. I was like,
there's no time. You're whipping your dick out trying to force it.
What's in this cream? Oh, it's my piss.
Yeah. It's just yellow.
You open the carton, it's just a hole.
I've mixed it with yogurt. And I've,
you open the carton, it's just a dick. I press the button. It's like, what's
no. This is how you want to go out, isn't it?
Yeah, like we came in.
Karate.
Here we go, film number three. Car accident.
Crash.
Kidnapping.
Ransom.
Air vent.
Die Hard.
Cat and mouse.
Mission Impossible.
Catch me if you can.
Psychological manipulation.
Zodiac. That's not air vent.
Farmhouse.
Ooh.
Farmhouse.
Signs.
Men in Black.
Secret room.
Panic room.
Bunker.
Oh, Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
I was going to say that. Oh, I was going to scream Cloverfield.
Well
done. Cloverfield!
There you go. 3 points, Scrubber, for that one. The other one's Alien Invasion, Address in Title. That's good, isn't it?
It is.
Film number four. Bearded Man. Bolting upright from a bad dream.
Inception.
Abandoned town.
Ooh. These are hard.
They are, yeah. Directed by Star.
Ooh.
Father kisses son's forehead.
Quiet Place.
Yes.
Ooh, hey.
Well done, mate. Well done.
You know when you think it and then you wait for another clue to say it? Should have just gone for it.
5 points here, Powers. That's big. You're taking the lead, mate.
Oof.
Five
Oof.
Points to four.
Oof.
With one film to go.
Do you want to say it's all to play for one last time?
Is all to play for, lads.
Oh. We can make him do that.
Can you imagine if things go if things go tits up? I mean, I'm saying this the last keyword countdown now. If things go tits up for us, I will be in loading most days. loading bar most days in, on Dalston. If you want me to do this for you, you just buy him a couple of Ronies. It's keyword countdown.
He's just in the corner going, crazy keyword.
He's like,
who's that? Yeah. He used to be a big deal.
I hope Jimmy's like, that's keyword Pete. He does games for nickels. Someone flicks him one. He's going to be doing it all day.
A quarter, he'll be keywording for hours. I'm just in the back, just like fucking magging out Bab O'Reilly. Like,
I can't wait for January 7th.
It's good to know. What are we doing? Oh, yeah, last four. Here we go. Last keyword countdown ever. Voice on. Here we go. No opening credits.
Batman Begins. I was going to go Star Wars. All I can think of was opening credits.
Although, do you know what? Well, technically, not credits, mate.
Crawl.
Yeah, it's Crawl.
It says Star Wars.
It's not Star Wars.
Could be Star Wars.
Could be Star Wars. Telling someone to shut up.
That doesn't really narrow it down.
Bare-chested male.
Prestige.
Yeah.
What?
Oh my gosh. Because we just watched it there. I was thinking about how good Hugh Jackman looks without his shirt.
His back looks fucking incredible in that film. Yeah.
He is. I think he's probably the dream right closest there. To perfection.
That's real magic.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
what that is. The other clues: little boy, flintlock pistol, animal experimentation, building on fire, Royal Albert Hall, rivalry, human duplication. Now, originally this was a different film, but I changed it because I'll tell you why in a minute. Do you guys know what the link is? Moon, Pursuit of Happiness, Prestige, 10 Cloverfield Lane, and A Quiet Place.
I'm not sure I do. No.
Okay, so this is a very, very special keyword countdown. Right. So the connection is the leading roles, right? So we got Sam Rockwell, Will Smith, Hugh Jackman, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and John Krasinski. Now, if you take the first name of all those,
that's mad.
You get Sam, Will, Hugh, Mary, John. Because John Montgomery has decided to propose to his lovely girlfriend via the medium of Keyword Countdown. Hopefully she says yeah. I've got a really nice exchange because he messaged me a while back saying, could you do this? I was like, absolutely. I was like, what if she says no? He's like, it hadn't occurred to me until you just said it.
That's
like,
an option?
He's like, no, I'm shitting myself.
Should we record two reactions now? Yeah. We'll do like a, hey, okay, and, it's going to be all right, mate. Don't worry.
She said, yeah.
Hey, congratulations, buddy.
That's amazing.
Well done. We're coming. We got to come. Invite us. We'll come. We won't have much on
this. We don't
next
have much
year.
On.
Okay, she said no.
Oh, bear off out of it.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Sound like a nightmare.
Plenty more fish in the sea.
Yeah.
You got to just get back on that horse.
Not today. Wouldn't thought so.
No.
Yeah. Aww. Can you believe as well, he had the audacity to send us in a Keyword Countdown featuring Hugh Jackman and not feature The Prestige. It was like The Greatest Showman or something.
Oh, we've
bullshit.
Still done this.
Yeah, I changed it. I messaged him going, why have you not done The Prestige?
Is it
called
John? He's really dropped the rubber ball on that one.
Nice.
So actually, the final Keyword Countdown is 13 points. No, 13 points to 12 points to 5. And no one got the link, unbelievably.
13 points to 12 points to 5.
At this moment, somebody's putting on a ring that's changing their life.
Hopefully putting on a ring. Never know.
Never know.
what a lovely way to go out. But thank you very much for listening to all those Keyword Countdowns and listening to us. What are we going to do now?
Well, I think we just elaborated what you're doing now.
Yeah. Should we just get on the swigs?
I think so. This has been wicked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been great, guys. Absolutely. I know you're coming with me.
Yeah.
But
it's Ireland.
I think we've all loved our time here at IGN UK.
A lot,
And that team is obviously amazing and they're going to go on to do amazing things.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what the podcast is without us.
Yeah, I know. And I think it comes from all of us. We say thank you as well to the audience who listens to the IGN UK podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan, you've been here for even longer than we have.
Too long, baby.
You know, his first his thing was double digits.
86, episode like 86 or something.
What was your first one? I was 225.
I was 252. I was 253, today. Yeah. So they had me in. They tested the water with you and they were like, all right, it's fine. Get in the real talent. Get in the big man. And then I proceeded to not talk.
Are we going with this?
You really?
Yeah, I was so nervous.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was telling Joe and Cardi. I was shitting myself. But yeah, it's been so lovely to be a part of this.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank
I
you
guess.
Very, very much.
That's just all we want to say.
For listening to our show.
And hopefully you'll follow us into our new adventures.
Yeah.
Because they'll be exciting and new.
Yeah. Keyword Countdown 2.0. That's
literally going to be the main thing.
Yeah.
We're branching off to do that.
Devised and hosted by Gav Murphy.
People are like, what about Prepare to Try? Prepare to what? Ah? No, they've got that.
Tom, Dave are interested.
Oh, all right then. Thank you very much, guys. You guys are amazing.
We love you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. bloody hell. That's sad. That is like proper like end of year or something. No. Smash it up. Let's smash this pizza.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.